Good morning, everybody. Great to see all of you. I want to welcome all of our campuses that are joining us right now. I want to welcome all those that are online all around the world. If you're not only in Dayton, but somewhere in the world, we're glad to have you. Centerville, great to see you here. So grateful if you're here as a guest in any one of our campuses or online. We're so glad that you're here. Hey, I want to tell you, next 2 weeks from now, actually, we're going to start a series called Better Together. And it's a series where we're asking this question, why does the church matter? And we're going to go back to the Acts chapter 2, and we're going to go to where the church started as Jesus ascended into heaven, and he just left the disciples there, and he gave them a game plan, and we get a chance to look at the church and to ask the question, why does the church matter? Church being you, not a building or a campus. The church is you. It's me. It's together. Why does it matter? Why does it matter that we gather together? Why is it important for you to be in circles? And so we're going to answer that question. And so we're going to ask you to consider hosting a small group. Because we want everybody to be in a small group as we go through 5 weeks in this series. We launch our fall. Most everything is starting to settle down a little bit. We're back into football and soccer. If you didn't know that, you need to know that. We're back into soccer as well. And so we're back in and we're settling in. And we want to make sure that as we enter in this fall that we begin to have relationships with each other. And so some of you are already in small groups, and I'll tell you about those in just a second. But if you're interested and willing just to simply host a small group, and that means that you could do a couple things. Let's just use the word here. If you have a heart for people, then all you need to do is ask two or three people, maybe some people sitting next to you, maybe somebody that you know, or maybe somebody that you know has not returned back to church yet. And they're wondering what it would look like, and maybe they're interested in at least getting into a small group so that they're not around a lot of people, and so maybe you could invite them to do that. Or open a space to meet. That means either your house, or you could do it in a park, or you could do it somewhere else, but gather some people, and you just host it. Maybe just provide something to eat, because we love to eat, don't we, as followers of Jesus? We love to do that. It's kind of our thing to do. And then talk about the sermon. We're going to talk about the question, why does the church matter? And it's important that we all discuss this. The truth of the matter is we're going to be doing it from ages way down here, you know, 2, 3, 4, all the way up. And so we're asking everybody to join us. Now, if you're already in a small group, we're going to ask you to join us. If you're willing to host a group, first of all, why don't you text hosting to 97,000, or you could stop by any one of the group life desks at our campuses. If you're online, it'd be better if you just texted, or you can visit our website. There's all kinds of material that are there. If you're already in a website, we're going to ask you to open up your group, meaning that would you allow your group to take a pause in whatever it is that you're doing and journey with us. And ask the question, why does the church matter? As we talk about it for 5 weeks looking in Acts. And so all you have to do as well, if your group is already meeting, just text to hosting to 97,000 and let us know that your group is willing to join in as we do this. And so we hope that you'll do that in the next couple of weeks. We're hoping that lots and lots of groups form. It's really easy. We're going to get a box, and there's going to be t-shirts and material. We're going to make it so easy for you. All you have to do is just be willing to host, and we'll do all the work for you and just give you the stuff. So thank you for being here. We're in a series called Accept or Ignore. We're looking at 5 invitations that Jesus gives. Today is invitation number 4. Next week is the last one. I hope you won't miss that as we finish off this series. But before we dive in into the New Testament again, the Gospels again, let me ask you a couple of questions and see how we can get into the subject of the 4th invitation that Jesus gives us. If I were to say to you, are you interested in being a follower of Jesus and being miserable? Are you interested in following Jesus, and you may not be a follower of Jesus, you may be trying to figure this whole thing out, and if I were to ask you, are you interested in following Jesus and lose everything that you love, would that interest you? If you were to be a follower of Jesus, and I were to ask you to do something that's very hard or something that's very unrewarding, would you sign up for that? If I were to ask you, do you want to follow Jesus, and following Jesus would mean that you have to become a martyr, meaning that you have to give your life up, what would your answer be? Most of us would be like, boy, I need to think that through a little bit, right? Because this is what we assume with the 4th invitation. We assume that with this invitation that Jesus is saying, I want you to be miserable, I want you to lose everything that you love, I want you to do something that's hard and unrewarding completely in life, and I want you to give up your life, I want you to be a martyr for me. That's what we assume in this invitation. In fact, we even use these words. We use words like this. That is my cross to bear. We'll say things like, you know, I'm dealing with a health issue in my life, and that is my cross to bear. Or you might be dealing with a financial need in your life, and you're like, that is my cross to bear. Or you might be struggling in a relationship, and you're at a crossroads in your life making decisions about work or whatever it might be, and you might say to yourself, that is my cross to bear. And I gotta tell you, that's not at all what Jesus meant. If you're facing any one of those, here's what I would tell you, that's just life. Life is hard. We live in a fallen, sinful world, and it's difficult. We'll experience tough things in relationships that we want to reconcile. We'll experience difficult things with our health as you age. Anybody want to say amen to that one? Right? Your backs are starting to hurt, and you know, you get from your 20s, and then all of a sudden your 40s, and so forth and so on. And so then you get different things in your life. That's just life. It's just so hard. Jesus in no way is meaning for you and I to be miserable or to lose everything that we love when he gives us this fourth invitation. Let me give you the invitation, and then I want to get into the New Testament, into the gospel, so that you can read the invitation and see exactly what Jesus is saying, and then let's try to understand it. Here's what Jesus says. In fact, he says it in all of the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and interestingly enough, he says it also in John, where in John he says, I'm the vine and you are the branch. And sometimes there's things in our life that we have to prune, we have to cut off in our life. So he's really referring to the same invitation that we see in all the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and here it is. Jesus is saying this, so really this whole thing should be in red. If anyone would come after me, if anyone wants to follow me, if everyone wants a relationship with me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. This is the invitation. I want to look at this invitation. I want to give you really the bottom line. What is Jesus inviting us to? And then I want to read the story in Mark, actually. And so we're going to turn there in just a second in Mark. But when we see this invitation, here's the problem with this invitation. We begin immediately to look at our spiritual life, and then we begin to look at the spiritual life of those around us. And all of a sudden, we try to find ourselves right here. We say to ourselves, well, we all want to play the game, but there's some of us that are playing peewee football, there's some of us that are playing pro football, and that invitation is only for the pros. Like, that is for, you know, the senior, mature people who are following Jesus. I mean, I'm just a peewee football player. I'm just new to my faith, or I may not really accept this, because I think this is really probably for pastors, and certainly pastors need to, you know, accept this invitation, but I don't know if I need to accept this invitation, because when you look at your life spiritually, we think of it as, well, you're either in peewee football, or you're pro football, and you're somewhere in between, and the answer, the reality is that's not true at all. The question isn't where are you in playing football, the question is, are you playing football? And if you're playing, this invitation is for you. So this is for all of us, not just the pros, not just for people who may wonder, as a peewee, as a new believer, you're wondering, is this really for me? Yes, it's for all of us, because all of us are on this spiritual journey that we have, and so you get the opportunity, as we look at this invitation, to accept it or to ignore it. You cannot deny it. This is an invitation that Jesus gives to all of us, and you cannot deny it. You cannot say, this is not for me. You cannot say, I'm not at the place in my spiritual life, because if you have given your life to Jesus and you say, I want to be a follower, I want to be a follower of Jesus, this invitation is yours. You get to accept or you get to ignore it. Last week I said to you, and I'll say it again, church, this might be our finest hour. As a church, this might be our finest hour. As an individual, this might be your finest hour. If we get this invitation correct, as we accept this invitation, this could change so much about you and us and this city and our world around us, because this might be your finest hour as we think through this. Let me rehearse a little bit with you, if you will. Let's rewind and look at some of the invitations that we've already accepted in our lives, if you haven't been with us. The first week, we looked at the invitation to come and see. Jesus says, come and see. In other words, I want you to experience, Jesus is saying, the presence of God, which is far better than the answers from God. That as you journey in your spiritual life, that maybe one of the best things for you to do, church, if you're a follower of Jesus, is to invite somebody to come and see, to say, look, God is really working in my life, and I want you to come and see it. I want you to experience it. I want you to hear about it. That's the first invitation. Second one was to follow me, where Jesus is really saying, I want you to live like me. I want you to live like Jesus. Follow me so that your actions, your attitudes mirror Jesus in your life. Thirdly, last week, we looked at the invitation to fish with him, where he says, fish with me. I will make you fishers of, help me out here, church. I will make you fishers of men. And so Jesus says, fish with me. In other words, be a disciple that's not just a disciple to yourself. Be a disciple that's involved in disciple making. Church, how many of you agree with me that we want to be a church that is constantly thinking about the people around us that don't know Jesus? Would you agree with that? We want to grow in our own spiritual lives, for sure. We want to grow. We want our roots to become deep in our life, but we also want to make sure that other people don't miss heaven. That's our role. That's what God asks us to do. So take your Bibles with me, if you brought one or a device, and power it up, and let's turn to Mark chapter 8, verse 27. Mark chapter 8, Mark is in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, it's the second Gospel. I want to read this story to you. You probably want to underline a few things that are really, really important in this story as Jesus gives us this invitation, and you get to accept or you get to ignore it. Mark chapter 8, let's pick it up in verse 27. There's lots of things that have been happening in Jesus' life. He's been healing people like absolutely just all the time, healing people of leprosy and healing people that were blind and all kinds of things that were taking place. And it was very evident that Jesus was different. It's very evident that Jesus was something that was very different than what everybody had experienced in the first century. And so after seeing all of this, Jesus, verse 27, was with his disciples. So make sure you see in this story who Jesus is talking to and the people that are there. These are his disciples. They're walking along. They're at Caesarea Philippi, which is toward the north of Israel. And as they're walking along, he asks them, who do you say that I am? Who do people say that I am? And their answers were, some of them said, well, some people think you're John the Baptist. Okay. Some people think you're Elijah, because in the Old Testament, it's very clear that the prophet said that Elijah was going to come before the Messiah was going to come. That's why, church, note to self here, that's why Jesus in Matthew says that John the Baptist is the Elijah, in order to fulfill the prophecy that John the Baptist was the Elijah, that Jesus was the Messiah. So he says, well, who do people say I am? Some say you're John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others say one of the prophets. And he asked them, but who do you say I am? Church, that's where we have to start. Who do you say Jesus is? Because it's really important for you to answer that in order to be able to accept or ignore this invitation that he gives to us. Who do you say that I am? And Peter answered him, you are the Christ. Wow. That word is the Messiah in the original language. You are the Christ. And then he says to them, don't tell anybody, because he's not ready yet to be arrested, and he's not ready yet for all the drama to happen around his life. And so he says, don't tell anybody. And then here comes the conversation, verse 31. I want to read it for you. Let's hear this. And he, that's Jesus, began to teach them that the Son of Man, that's Jesus, must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, after 3 days rise again. Their minds are blown. They're like, wait, you're the Christ, you're the Messiah, and now you're telling us that you're going to die and that you're going to be rejected by all these people. And in their minds are like, that's not what the Messiah is going to do. There's no reason to have a Messiah that comes that dies, in their minds. There's no reason to have a Messiah that comes that is not victorious. That's what they were thinking. There's no Messiah that shouldn't come, that should overturn Rome, that should somehow be some geopolitical thing that takes over, and so there's huge, you know, sense of ownership and command of the world and the planet. And so Peter pulls him aside and starts to rebuke him. He says, no, that can't happen. We don't know what the conversation was, but you can only imagine that Peter says, oh, wait, time out, Jesus. You're the Messiah, and this whole dying thing, that's not going to work. We're going to have to figure something else out. This is not going to work. And look what Jesus says. He says, get behind me, Satan. Jesus actually says to Peter, what you just said is demonic. Because he's about to give the invitation, and anything that is twisting of this invitation is demonic. Because trust me, the enemy wants to take this invitation and tell you it means you're going to be miserable. It means you're going to lose all your loves. It means you're going to have to give up your life. It means you're going to do things that are hard and very unrewarding. That's what the devil wants to tell you. That's what the enemy of our soul wants to tell us. Verse 34, and calling the crowd to him with his disciples. So now there's more people there than just the disciples, but they're all Jewish. That's a key important detail in the story. They're all Jewish. They gather the crowd, and he says to them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And I'm asking, and maybe you are as well, what does that mean? What does it mean for me to deny myself and to take up my cross? I mean, that seems serious. That seems like way over my head. That's above our pay grade. What does Jesus mean here? Actually, the next four statements, he actually explains it. Some call them, scholars call them parables. They're not really parables because they're not stories. They're more riddles, if you will, or statements that Jesus makes. But in these four statements, Jesus explains exactly what he means. And oftentimes, we don't see it. We pull this invitation out and we look at it and say, Jesus wants us to deny ourselves and to take up our cross. And so what we've said is, well, that means we're miserable, that we lose all of our loves, and you know that we do things that are hard and unrewarding, and then we die. And that's not at all what Jesus meant, and we need to make sure that we understand it. So here in this conversation, we're going to look at these four. So keep your Bibles open. We'll start in verse 35, and then we'll go to verse 36, and then we'll look at 37, and then we'll look at the first half of 38 and the second half of verse 38. So keep your Bibles open, because you may want to look at this and study this a little further in your own time and maybe with your own small group. So let's make sure we get this. Jesus is with his disciples. There's all kinds of healings going on. They're walking around, and Jesus says, so who do people say that I am? Like, just tell me what the word on the street is. And they say, well, some think you're John the Baptist. Well, John the Baptist was in prison, actually. And so some say you're Elijah because of the prophets, and some say that you're one of the prophets, that Jesus was a prophet coming back, And so then he asks them the question. And then Jesus just absolutely surprises them by saying, I'm going to be rejected, I'm going to die, and I'm going to ask you to deny yourself and to take up your cross. This was a startling conversation for them. I mean, Jesus is calling us to something that as he dropped this bomb on the disciples and the crowd that was there, he's helping them to understand something. But in their minds, they heard the word cross. Whoa. In the first century, a cross was real. You would walk around Jerusalem and you could see people that were hanging on a cross. And there's a reason for that, and I'll tell you that in just a second. This is a horrific kind of death. And so the disciples are wondering, wait, what are you really saying here? This is a huge thing that Jesus is dropping on these disciples. See, Jesus isn't calling us to live some stoic life. He's not calling us to live some sacrificial, noble cause. This is what Jesus is inviting us to. He's inviting us to joy beyond all imagination. If you hear anything at all today, make sure that you hear the invitation that Jesus says to deny yourself and to take up your cross is an invitation of the path to joy in your life. That unimaginable joy is in your life if you learn and understand what it means to deny yourself and to take up your cross. If we understand that, church, this is the pathway to unbelievable joy. Because I think you would all agree with me that there are moments in life that we have momentary joy. We get a new house, we get a new job, a new baby, a ring is showing up on a finger. Something happens in our lives that we're excited about. And it's momentary, and it may even last for a little while. But what Jesus is saying here is if you understand what it means to deny yourself and to take up your cross, you will have untold, unbelievable, unwavering joy in your life. I don't know about you, church, but I want that. Anybody else? That's something that I'm interested in. And so what I want to do with you is to look at these four statements that Jesus makes and helps us to understand what it means to deny ourselves and to take up our cross. Here you go. Let's grab your Bibles again and take a look. We're going to look in verse 35, but let me give it to you. Here's the first thing that Jesus tells us in understanding. If you're going to deny yourself, you need to understand that denying yourself is, in fact, to find yourself in Jesus. The first thing you need to understand about denying yourself is that you actually will find your best self in Jesus. Let me explain. Verse 35, this is what Jesus says. For whoever will save his life, and if you want to write in your Bibles, in fact, some of your Bibles have study notes next to it. The word life there means soul. So just write right next to it, soul. If you want to save your soul, whoever who would save his soul will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, you may want to underline that phrase. For my sake, if you're willing to do this for my sake, for Jesus' sake, and the gospel, that is the message that Jesus came to die, and because of his death and resurrection, you and I can have freedom from all sin and shame and guilt and eternal life. It's a pretty good message. That's called the gospel or the good news. So for whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save his soul. Again, this is what we hear when we hear deny yourself. We hear, lose your dreams, gone. We hear, all your desires, gone. We hear, me, gone. My personality, gone. I'm supposed to just blend in and be something that I don't even know what I'm supposed to be here. And Jesus says, no, not at all. Do you realize that right here in Mark chapter 8 is the first time that Jesus introduces the word cross? This is really important. Watch this. When Jesus introduces the word cross, the cross was a way of executing people who were considered to be serious threat to the rule of Rome. Now, Jews could not use the cross. They were not allowed to use that as capital punishment. It was only a Roman thing. Remember, Jesus is only talking to a Jewish audience, and so Jesus, in telling his Jewish audience, deny yourself and take up your cross, he's trying to communicate something because they knew what the cross was, but they knew that the cross could not be used on them because as Jews, they couldn't do that. It was the Romans that did it. And Romans only used the cross when there was a serious threat to the rule of Roman law. So here's what Jesus is saying. Make sure that we catch this, that when he talks about the cross, he's saying that every part of me that does not reflect Jesus must die. Every part of me that's not reflecting of Jesus must die. Every sin, every attitude, every thought, and it has to happen, here's the key word, daily. Daily. We have to die. The word deny, actually, if you want to jot this down, here's the word, the definition of the word deny. Deny means that you affirm that you will have no relationship with blank. Let me explain. What Jesus is saying is that if you deny yourself, you give up the right to have a relationship with revenge. You give up the right to have a relationship with security that's found in your possessions. You give up the right to have a relationship with a good reputation, with how we spend our money. We give up the right to hate our enemy. We give up the right to be honored and to be served. We give up the right to understand God's plan only, you know, when we obey it. We give up the right to live by our rules and bend God's rules. We give up the right to hold grudges. We give up the right to complain. We give up the right to put me first. We give up the right to express our sexuality in the way that we want to. That's denying. So here's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying that if you want to deny yourself and take up your cross, you need to look at your life right now, because this happens daily, and anything that does not reflect who Jesus is in your life must die. You know why? Because it's a serious threat to the kingdom of God. It's a serious threat to a life with Jesus. It's a serious threat of you following him and the gospel. You and I have to give up a relationship with all those things that are not of Jesus, and we have to die to that. Does this make sense, church? I hope you'll grab a hold of this. And when that happens, you will experience extreme joy, unwavering joy in your life. Because the first place in denying ourselves is to really find yourself in Jesus. And when you find yourself in Jesus, there's joy. Joy beyond all measure. And we'll see that as we end here today with some of the scripture that we find about joy that's related to the cross and joy that's related to suffering in our life. It's absolutely amazing when we think about it. Secondly, if you're a note taker and you want to figure out what does it mean to deny yourself, the second thing Jesus says in verse 36 is this, that to deny yourself means to defy the devil. That's what it means. Then not only do you find yourself in Jesus, but you defy the devil himself. See, we've already seen in here that Jesus told Peter, get behind me, or some of us, you know, memorized it in the King James, get thee behind me, help me out here, church, Satan, right? Verse 36, for what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? And you know what the devil says? Oh, you can have both. The devil says it's not that much. In fact, from the very beginning of your Bibles, jot it down, Genesis chapter 3, from the very beginning of your Bibles, the devil has been twisting the words of God, twisting the words of Jesus since the beginning of mankind. The devil said to Eve, did God really say you can't eat from that tree? Are you serious? Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, I don't think it's gonna be that big of a deal. And so we hear things like, wait, can't we gain the whole world and keep our soul? Or we hear things like, can't we do what we want because shouldn't God understand? Or can't we pursue what we desire and God will forgive us because that's just my cross to bear that we have in life? How many times have we thought, put down the glass, talk to the neighbor, repent of that sin. Help that person out. Give up your bonus. This is sexually wrong. Own your part in that relationship. How many times have we thought those kinds of thoughts, and this is what we hear? Subconsciously, we hear this down deep inside. There's no need for extremes. There's no need for such extremes in life. You don't have to go that far. You do not have to go that far. And what Jesus is saying in verse 36 is that if we're gonna deny ourselves and take up our cross, it means that we're gonna have to defy the devil. And one of the things that the devil will say to us is this invitation is really about peewee football. You don't have to worry about this. This is only for the pros. So just ignore this invitation. The other ones are kind of cool, you know, come and see all the things that God will do and follow him and live like him and fish with me and have an impact on other people. But when it comes to this kind of thing in life where it really, really counts and it costs a lot in our life, that's really for the pros. Don't worry about it. That's what the devil will say. And so here's what Jesus is saying in verse 37. If you're gonna deny yourself, it may follow with rejection in life. It may follow with rejection. There might be some rejection in your life. We read that in the verses earlier where Jesus says, I'm gonna be rejected. Verse 31, look at the verse 31 again with me. He began to teach and he says, I'm gonna be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes. You know what's eerily missing in this statement? That Jesus doesn't say that he's rejected by the Romans, but he's rejected by the world. That's really interesting to me. Jesus is saying that we're gonna be rejected by religious people all around us. Religious people all around us. I was doing some research and it was really pretty interesting. And I don't know if you love this kind of stuff or not, I do, and so that's why I bring it to you, obviously. But I was reading the Pew Research Institute, the Pew, P-E-W, Pew Research Institute tells us that in 2021, because of COVID, what's happened in the church globally, not just in America, but globally, is that there's been a great divide. And the great divide has happened between cultural Christians and convictional Christians. Cultural Christians are defined, listen to this, are defined by the Pew Research Institute, are Christians who really hold to three things. One, they hold to the golden rule, do unto others as you would do unto you. Secondly, good citizenship. And thirdly, the American dream. Watch this. So cultural Christianity, if Jesus upsets the golden rule, or citizenship, or the American dream, then I'm out. The Pew Research Institute says that there's a gap that's taking place, and cultural Christians are moving to become nuns, not N-U-S, N-O-N-E-S, nuns, meaning they're not identifying at all. But the convictional Christians, those who believe in what Jesus is saying, those who accept these invitations that Jesus is giving to us in this series, that they are going to become stronger and stronger and more committed and deeper. There is a divide that's taking place. Church, some of the rejection that I think we're going to face is by religious people all around us, where there's cultural Christianity versus convictional Christianity. And it's so subtle. It's so subtle. And the rejection here that Jesus is talking about came from his family. His family rejected him. The religious people rejected him. And then the world rejected him. And so it may follow with some rejection. Look at verse 38. Let's look at it. It says this, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation," Jesus is saying there's some people that are just going to say, you know, I'm out. I don't know. This isn't working for me. I mean, the American dream's been, you know, has been tampered with. And, you know, the golden rule, I mean, I'm not seeing people that are treating me like I want to be treated and all of that. And so what we're seeing here is that people are being ashamed of their religion or their faith. And what Jesus is getting at here is this, that if you're going to deny yourself, meaning that you're going to take and kill everything in your life that is causing you not to be a reflection of Jesus. So you gotta kill it, or John says, you gotta prune it, same thing. You gotta kill it. If you don't do that, you need to realize that if you deny yourself, it may follow with rejection. In fact, let me say it this way. It is better to be on the right side of Jesus than on the right side of culture. That's what Jesus is saying. That if you're not careful, you're gonna be on the right side of culture and you will be ashamed of a life of following me, of sacrificing and giving things up that you know in your life need to die today. I've been thinking about this a lot. Fourthly, as we get into the second half of verse 38, Jesus says, if you wanna deny yourself, it will heal your sorrow. You notice in the very beginning I said that you're on the pathway to joy. Have you noticed that there's a pathway to joy? That when you kill that which is in your life that is not of Jesus, that brings joy. And when you recognize in your life that you have to defy the devil, and when you do, that brings joy. And even in rejection, that can bring joy. It's hard, but it can bring joy because you know that you're standing for this invitation that Jesus is giving to you. It can heal your sorrow. Look at verse 38 again. Let's read the whole thing. "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Jesus is alluding to something here that I want to make sure that we see in this verse. Jesus is saying that all sorrow starts when you don't deny yourself. All the problems in our life are when it's about you. All the situations and circumstances that we face are because we put self over God. Would you agree, church? Think about it. Everything that happens in our life that's sorrowful or hard or difficult, it really can be reduced down to the fact that we put self over God. Now, the truth is, I know that sometimes we can make decisions. But when you look at life, denying yourself heals your sorrow. Let me put it this way. Jesus is the maker of all beauty. Jesus is the redeemer of all that is broken. Jesus is the fountain of all joy. He desires to heal our sorrow. Do you realize that when you read the entire New Testament in the idea that denying yourself is giving up a relationship with that which does not reflect Jesus, and you kill it, is all through the New Testament. We just don't actually see it. The writer of Hebrews says this, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight." In other words, deny yourself and kill it. "And sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance." In other words, there might be rejection. This might, you know, people may not understand. You might be defying the devil. "Run with endurance the race that is set before us," goes on. And then Jesus says this, "Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who," what does it say here, church? "For the," what? "Joy," for the joy that was set before him, "endured the cross." See, the cross and joy are synonymous. That's an upside down thought, isn't it? That when you and I give up a relationship with something that is not reflecting Jesus and we kill it, joy is found. Joy is found. One of the psalmists writes this, "Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God." It's all through the Bible. This invitation is given to us all through the Bible, that you need to stop a relationship with something that is not reflecting Jesus, and you need to kill it. Defy the devil, to allow there to be even some rejection in your life, to heal the sorrow that we all experience. You know what's at stake here, church? Let me tell you what's at stake. The invitation to deny yourself joy is at stake. Your joy and my joy. Would you bow with me for just a second in all of our campuses and even online? There might need to be some executions today that are a serious threat to your relationship with Jesus. Serious. And maybe something has come to mind. Maybe God has tapped you on the shoulder, whether you're online or at any one of our campuses. And you're willing to say, I give up the right to be in relationship with blank. Father, thank you. This invitation on the surface seems really confusing. And Lord, the truth is there will be suffering. Lord, when we look at the world map, we see that for a person to follow Jesus, it means a whole lot more in Indonesia than it does here. For a person to follow Jesus in Afghanistan, it means a whole lot more. There's a lot more risk, a lot more at stake in terms of their physical life. But Lord, don't let us miss the reality of this invitation, that we need to deny ourselves and to take up a cross and to kill that which is an extreme threat to our relationship to you and to the kingdom of God. I pray that that would happen all over here in Centerville, and Classics, and Springboro, and Northmont, and Beaver Creek, and all those that are online all over the world. We pray, Father, that today deaths would take place because we desire to deny ourselves and to take up our cross. Thank you, Father. As we release it to you, thank you, Father, that you would help us in this process. In Jesus' name we pray, the church said, amen.